May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This is from Romans chapter 5. It says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just hanging out with the Lord this morning, there's just some things about the nature of God's love, how God's love operates in these four verses. It just ministered to me a lot, so I thought, well, we'll just pass it on and see if it ministers to you too. The obvious thing, it says that in verse 5, it says, hope doesn't disappoint, but because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts, the Holy Spirit. So the reality is that God's love has been poured out. The King James says, shed abroad. I mean, it's just been splattered inside of you by the Holy Spirit. The love, you've been filled with the love of God. You're filled with the love of God. And that's true about every believer, but unfortunately, most believers still don't understand the nature of God's love and some of the real important ways God's love operates. And I think there's just some cool insight here that Paul gives us, Holy Spirit gives us by Paul, into the nature of God's love and how God operates. It's very liberating and very practical. One of the things he says here, he says that God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word demonstrate there is better translated the word commend. It's like if you're going to introduce somebody, you say, let me commend to you so-and-so, and then you're like going, and here are their qualities. You commend them for a job or whatever. And the word demonstrate really has the idea of commend. He says, let me commend to you what God's love is like, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what God's love is like. If he loved me while I was still a sinner, then what it says about God's love is that it's unconditional. This got nothing to do with your performance. It's got nothing to do with what you earn and what you deserve. See, people have this idea that before Jesus died on the cross, all lost people, God just hated them. And then Jesus took all the hate out of God, and now God loves everybody. But the truth is, he loved us when we were ungodly. He loved us when we were still sinners. What he hated was sin. What he poured his wrath out on was sin. And Jesus took all of our sin, and God poured his wrath out on the thing that we're destroying, what he loves the most, which is humanity. He created us to be objects of his love. And he demonstrates the true nature of his love by saying, while you were still ungodly, when you were still a sinner, Christ died for us. Which means, therefore, when you sin as a Christian, and unfortunately from time to time you do, he doesn't stop loving you. He doesn't put his love on the pause button. And then after you repent, start loving you again. His love for you is unconditional. All right? The other thing that it says about his love, it says this, I love this part, it says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. There's something about helplessness that attracts God and God's love. It doesn't mean that God loves the helpless more than he loves the strong. He doesn't love Christians more than he loves unbelievers. We were all unbelievers, the whole world, when Christ died for us, when he commended his love to us. God so loved the world, the lost world, that he gave his only begotten Son. God is love, and so he doesn't love the helpless more, but his love is manifested in rescue towards the helpless. He just has a heart for the helpless. He doesn't condemn the helpless. He doesn't condemn them for why they've gotten helpless. But the fact is that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And so when we find ourselves in helplessness, that doesn't offend God. God's attitude isn't like humanity that says, I'm all about the survival of the fittest. God's attracted to the helpless. And in helplessness, he comes and pours out and demonstrates his strength and his rescue and his grace out of love more than any other time. He has a great passion for the helpless. So when you find yourself in helpless situations, or you find yourself feeling helpless and weak, know in those moments God's love for you shines even brighter in very practical ways. But in that same verse, he says this, "For while we were still helpless," then he uses this phrase, "at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." How many times have you asked the question, why am I or why are we going through this? And why doesn't God step in and do something about it? Maybe none of you ever asked that question. Or why am I or why are we going through this again? And I didn't think we'd go through this again. And again, why does it keep going on? And why doesn't God step in and do something? Because it seems like this would be a good time for him to step in and do something. This would seem to be a good time for the promise I believe he gave me to be fulfilled. But God operates in the fullness of time. He wears a watch that has, it strikes 12 and it says fullness of time. And the point is that it said, even when we were helpless, at the right time. Jesus didn't die for the world 1 minute too late or 1 minute too soon. And there's not anything a Roman soldier or a Jewish high priest or anybody else could do to speed it up or slow it down. The enemy had no control over it whatsoever. That's true in our lives, period. In all those places in our lives where you're going through things and you don't understand why you're going through it again, it's not because you've done something wrong and God's abandoned you. He's already said, he commends my love to you that while you were sinners, Christ died for you. That's my love is like that. I'm not abandoning you because you've done something wrong. I have a heart for the helpless. I don't rub their noses in it. That's not who he is. He's just not that small and that cheap. He doesn't manipulate people the way we do our own kids and our friends and wives and husbands. It's all about at the right time. His timing is all about his love. And why are you in this again? Because he loves you. Why has he not rescued you yet? Because he loves you. And why is he going to rescue you when he rescues? Because he loves you. And he knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly when it should be manifested. There are other things going on that you may not understand. There are all kinds of stuff that are being fulfilled in the fullness of time. There are all kinds of consequences that involve more than just you and what you're going through. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly how it's happening. He knows exactly when he's going to step in. And he does everything at the right time, and it's all because of his love for you. So I can trust that. Galatians says faith always works through love. And I can trust him because I know he loves me unconditionally. He loves me not less, but he manifests his love for me even more when I'm helpless. And that my times, Psalm says, are in his hands. Not the devil's hands, not other people's hands, but my times are in his hands. And he'll do it at the right time. Trust him. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.